All right, good afternoon. Glad you guys got here early to find a seat. Everyone else is probably at the airport or downtown by Old Town by now. Anyway, my name is Jason Githens. I'm a senior program manager lead in the enterprise client team. We also own the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Aaron, quick introduction.
I'm Aaron Chakowski. I'm a program manager on the same team. Program manager owner for both Config Manager OSD as well as MDT.
So I don't know if any of you were in our deploying Windows 8 session yesterday, but some of the feedback we got there was that it was too advanced and it wasn't really an overview of deploying Windows 8 at a basic level. Well, this isn't either. So this is more of a deep dive into the what's new feature set, not really an overview of what MDT does. So if you're looking for what MDT does, that's not really what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking more about MDT 2012 Update 1, and then touching briefly on what's new in MDT 2013, which is available now. Right?
Available today, yes.
Yeah, available today. So that's available for download. So MDT 2012 Update 1. This version was released in August, updated in September, just not quite a year ago. Added support for Windows 8, Server 2012, and System Center 2012 Configuration Manager Service Pack 1. That's even harder to say with R2. We got to wedge R2 in there somehow now. But there are a bunch of new features in this release, and we've built on that with the 2013 release as well. There's something for all MDT customers here. For all scenarios. When I say scenarios, I'm primarily talking about for light touch installation, zero touch installation, and user-driven installation. And we'll go into depth in each of those areas and cut over to demos for each of those as well. It's a simple upgrade process, as it has been with previous versions, so that shouldn't slow you down. A little easier than the upgrade process of Configuration Manager, fortunately. Major themes, you see at the bottom, there are four there. It's working with System Center 2012, deploying Windows 8 and Windows Server 2012, integrating new tools, products, and capabilities, which I'll touch on what exactly that means in the next slide, and making deployments easier and prettier, because pretty's nice. So the first one, it's really not, I'm just repeating myself now, but Windows 8 and 80K support, roles and features, meaning there's a drop-down list of the roles and features that you can add in the actual creation of the task sequence, so it simplifies that whole process and makes adding, you know, in particular server roles super easy. There's also new components in WinPE, which we take advantage of, and BitLocker pre-provisioning, which is new in the Windows 8 80K as well. We touch on that briefly. So BitLocker pre-provisioning provides a way to apply BitLocker in advance of laying down all of the files. So you basically pre-prepare, if that's a word, pre-prepare the drive for BitLocker in WinPE before you start laying down all the OS and app files. So it basically applies BitLocker to those as they're laid down. You don't have to come back later and apply BitLocker. So it speeds that process up significantly. So that's one of the big changes that comes with the Windows 8 80K and WinPE there. There's also, I mentioned before, some integrations with other Microsoft products, and that's expanded in this release as well. The first one, which I think is one of the cooler ones in this list, is the integration with the Diagnostics and Recovery Toolkit, or DART, which is an MDOP component. Aaron will demo this in a bit, but basically what that is, when I say the cool part of it, is you can actually remote control into WinPE and troubleshoot that way. So provides a way to get into WinPE and help figure out a problem inside of that process. Additionally, through MDT integration, it simplifies that remote control process, and Aaron will talk about that more in the demo. There's also the integration of Security and Compliance Manager, the config packs that ship in that Solution Accelerator product that allows you to apply those in the task sequence. There's integration into WinRE, the Windows Recovery Environment, which makes recovery scenarios easier. System Center Orchestrator. It's a workflow. If you know Orchestrator, it's workflow management. There's integration into Orchestrator to combine MDT with Orchestrator in a way that you can really make a nice, robust end-to-end solution using the Orchestrator integration. And finally, in the new integrations, there's PowerShell. There's PowerShell in the task sequence in 2.0 and 3.0 support into task sequence for both versions of PowerShell. And the bottom of the list here, the one that drops off the end of the page, and don't worry, there aren't more underneath that that we're just hiding from you. That is the, there's just two items with one slightly truncated for some reason. Deployment to UEFI. Not going to get any more into UEFI. There's a lot online about that, but it's a new, it's effectively a replacement to BIOS. It's a new standard, new hardware standard there. And offline state capture. In particularly in refresh scenarios, this is helpful because offline state capture helps avoid that problem of files being locked. Typically, that happens to, say, a PST is in use when you try to do state capture and you can't get that file captured and restored. So with offline capture, which happens in WinPE, obviously files aren't going to be locked in that state because there's no user interacting with those files or no applications interacting with those files. They're improved. This goes back to the pretty statement from a couple of slides ago. If you think System Center console is pretty, and if you do, then you'll like this because we've used the same style in the MDT wizards. There's a new monitoring capability native to MDT now that lets you track the status of your deployments in a richer way that lets you see where you are on a per machine basis. And a series of behind-the-scenes improvements such as partitioning, in the areas of partitioning, user state migration, progress displays, cross-plat, improved cleanup logic, simpler VM template creation, and a few more that, you know, minor bug fixes, things like that that aren't even on this list. So with that, I'll get the boring slide we're over with, and Aaron will take you through some of the coolness, and I'll step aside and let him drive that.
Thanks, Jason. So this is the wizard, and one of the great things here now is, as Jason talked about, is we have integration both with WinRE, so from here we can launch the WinRE wizard and do some recovery tasks, as well as being able to run the Dart tools. So with the Dart integration, as Jason mentioned, this comes from MDOP, the Microsoft Desktop Optimization Pack, and adds just a whole bunch of tools that kind of help with troubleshooting. So this is just the list of tools that you have available. And in some cases, you'll see a few of these are not available. It says tool requires a supported offline OS. And that's because it's doing some detection and it's seeing that this system is an empty disk. There's nothing on that disk right now. So some of the functionality is not able to run because there's no OS there. So if you were doing a refresh or you use this boot image to boot up a system that's broken, if it can detect that there's an OS on the drive, then a bunch of these other tools will light up and be useful in this situation. So, you know, there's a bunch of neat things that you can do here from Dart. Not going to get into all of them, but just wanted to give you an overview of what that is. So we'll go ahead and launch the deployment wizard. Wait for that to step in. Now, you notice down in the lower left corner, a little window popped up in a minimized state. Before I go through the wizard, let me open this up and show you what's going on here. This is actually the Dart remote connection control. And this is what is driving the ability to remote control into this behind the scenes. I'm not going to go into all the details right now about what all that means, but I just wanted to call that to your attention. All right, so let's step into a task sequence here. As Jason mentioned, the wizard's been updated to be a little prettier using the System Center style wizards. I'm going to rename this just for the sake of visibility in a little bit. So this screen here is what Jason talked about around the offline state capture, having the ability to check the system from WinPE and pull files off of it in that state. In this instance, again, I have a blank hard drive, so I'm not going to do any data instead of this migration, but I just wanted to point this out. In the same vein, if I was doing a replace, if I had already run a capture on another system, and I'm booting up a brand new system and I want to be able to restore data on this one, here's where I would specify that I'm going to pull data off of a network share or such and apply that as part of this task sequence. Locale and time, I don't think anything changed here. It's all the same. Here's our roles and features. So we got this huge list of all the roles and features that are applicable for this platform. You can go through and hit the checkboxes for the ones that you want as part of this deployment. You might notice at the top here we have some buttons to select all. You might wonder, gosh, why would I want to select all? Why would I want to do a deployment of a system and install every single role and feature on that one system? Well, most likely you don't. The reason that's there actually is for our test team. As they're going through their tests, they found it maddening having to go through and check every single checkbox in order to do their tests. So we added a button in so they could easily add them all. So if you're wondering about that, that's the story behind that. We were able to pull in applications. In this instance, I've added two really useful applications, especially for a user deployment. So you know, the toolkit, that's just a standard MSI. This sales dashboard, it's actually a Windows 8 application. So with MDT 2012 Update 1, we're also integrating the ability to install Windows 8 applications. So that will work as part of your task sequence. Capture image screen, again, is very similar. All right, and we're ready to go. So I'm going to go ahead and launch this on my client. And it'll go through its usual process. All well and good. If you know MDT, you've seen this. We're not going to sit here and watch progress bars. Ignore that for a second. We'll flip over to the server. And let's go and look at the new monitoring capability. So we come into the monitoring. Let me refresh this. And we should see. There we go. So here's the one I just created, right? TechEd. And you can see it's been running for about 23 seconds. And it tells us what step it's on, how many steps total of the task sequence, and the percentage complete, which step it's currently on. I can get properties on this, see a lot of that same information. I get a nice little progress bar. The progress here is not based upon the amount of time it's going to take. So we don't do some great calculations of, oh, the WIM is this big, and the disk is this big, and this processor speed and all that, and try and calculate an estimated time. This is literally just how many steps are there, and we are this percentage of the way through that number of steps.
Which is too bad. As you know, most Microsoft progress bars are precise in their calculation
exactly.
of time left for something to finish, so this is anomalous in that way.
But at the very least, it doesn't restart. It doesn't get to the end and then go back to the beginning and go through a second time, because that never happens. So you'll find oftentimes, especially on this very step here, installing the operating system, it'll probably sit here for a bit. As we all know, it takes some time to lay down 3.5 gigs, 4 gigs, you know, however big your image is. So oftentimes you'll see it at this point for quite a bit. Now you can also notice here at the bottom we have the option for Dart remote control. So it's detected that this system has the Dart agent running, and I can click on this and it'll shell right into a remote session. I can see what's going on and I can actually manipulate it with pretty good performance. These are both virtual machines running off of a standard laptop. What's actually happening here, these values that I mentioned earlier, the ticket number, the IP address, and the port, typically with Dart, so you can use Dart outside of this. And if you were to use it in a Windows PE environment and then run the Dart tool set on a server or another system, you would have to get this information from someone sitting at that remote system. And they would have to give you all this information and you plug it in to the Dart console in order to initiate the connection. Well, what we're doing is we're automating all of that. We can detect that that's there. The client is sending that information back up to the MDT server, and it's available then when we make that connection. So it just simplifies that whole process. Right, so we're just going to let that go. And let's go take a look now at some of the new task sequence stuff. So under pre-install, here's the enabling BitLocker step. As Jason talked about with BitLocker pre-provisioning, This is going to occur then right after the, let's see, it's in here someplace. There we go. When the system is formatted, especially in the new computer scenario, so the system gets formatted, and then right after that is when we do the enable BitLocker to do the pre-provisioning, so that with the clean drive, it enables that flag so that as data is written to the disk, BitLocker is encrypting it as it goes. One thing we'll notice with this, too, is that we are, by default, setting continue on air, and that's because this step does require a TPM. So if the system does not have a TPM, this step would fail. So using continue on air then will allow this step to continue, even if there's not a TPM. Under post install, so aside from adding Windows RE into our boot images, we're also adding Windows RE as part of the task sequence. So when you deploy a system, if the Windows RE components are available, it'll inject that onto the deployed system so that the Windows recovery environment is available if needed in the future. Down here at the bottom is the apply local GPO package. And this speaks to what Jason talked about with the Security Compliance Manager. So Security Compliance Manager, we've exported some of the GPO packs that come with that for several of the platforms. And what this will do is, depending upon the version of the platform, if there's a GPO pack available, it'll apply that as part of this. Certainly, if you don't want to apply those local GPOs, you can remove this step. There's also some controls that can be used as part of custom settings on INI to handle how this is applied. And here's the task sequence side of that install roles and features. So you can specify in the task sequence which roles and features that you want to apply. It's slightly nicer because we get the ability to expand and collapse here because of the controls that are available. And we also have the ability to set depending upon the OS that's in use. So in this example, we have Windows 7, but we can switch that to Windows 8, and it changes that list depending upon what's applicable for that platform. Now, I don't have it in this task sequence, but I want to add in another step to show you a new component that we've added, is the ability to run an orchestrator runbook right from the task sequence. I don't have orchestrator available, so I can't do much of a demo here of it, but I wanted to show you it's just a matter of pointing to your orchestrator server. You can then browse for a runbook that's available and then do some work in terms of how the parameters map back and forth between the task sequence and orchestrator. A good example of how you might use this is if you had a runbook, let's say, that moves a computer account from one OU to another OU. So if you are doing a refresh of a system and as part of that you want to move it into a different OU in Active Directory, it would probably be a lot easier to do that from Orchestrator. Certainly you could write a custom script that would do that, but it might be easier to do that out of Orchestrator and call off to that and pass it the right parameters and let it do that work. So that's a new piece of integration that we have in 2012 Update 1. All right, let's flip over to the deployment share properties. And on Windows PE, well, let me start with x86. There's a tab here now for features. And this is the list of the optional components that can be added into Windows PE. So when you update your deployment share, these optional components will be added into your boot image. So we have things here like .NET and PowerShell, which are very popular, although can increase the size of your boot image a bit. You can also see it's not really an optional component per se, but this is how we add Dart into the boot image, is through this area. And you might be wondering, oh, wait a minute, why is that not checked? I saw you had Dart there. Well, this is the x86 platform. If we switch over to the x64 platform, which is what I was using to deploy on that client, we can see that Dart is added to that one. We have a new task sequence template for VHDs. So you might have noticed this one as we were over in the task sequences here. It's using a different template. And this gives the ability to deploy a system to a VHD. So if we actually look into this task sequence, go into the pre-install area, we'll see some different things are going on here. So we actually have a step to create that VHD disk, some options that are available there. And then instead of formatting and partitioning the hard drive, it's applying that to the the VHD. So it's a new template. There's slightly different behaviors that's going on here. But the outcome is, instead of deploying to a physical system, we're deploying to a VHD. All right, finally, I wanted to talk about the new run PowerShell step. So I have a very simple task sequence here with just a couple of steps. And really all it's doing is running this script. So let me first, I'll kick off this task sequence. Oof, so much for repeating progress bars. Okay, so let's kick this off. There's no real options for it, so it'll run really quick. We'll see it running the PowerShell script. We're getting a percent, although the percent bar is not updating. That's interesting. But you can see it counting. So we're getting a percent, a progress indicator as that script is running. And then the task sequence completes. So it's very quick. But you're actually able to see the progress of that PowerShell script as it goes. So let's take a look at the script that we're actually using here. So this is just a demo script, just a test script. We're importing the module. And this is really what drives a lot of the functionality. So in order to get a lot of the rich functionality that we're providing with PowerShell integration, you do need to import our utility module into your script. So we do a simple write out. We'll see that in the log file in just a second. Have a couple commands just to look at the modules that are available, the drives that are available. The next lines here for doing the directory on the environment. This will list all of the environment variables. And I'll show you in a second why that's interesting, as well as the list of variables. And then this is where we do the progress. So we're just doing a loop. We're writing that progress out. Not really doing anything as a part of that. It's just for demo purposes. And then down here at the bottom, the very last one, the get content, just to show that it's all relative from the location of the script. So the script, this demo script is in the scripts directory. So we're able to reference anything else in that scripts directory. For example, zti-config.xml. So with our task sequence already executed on this system, I lost my log file. Hang on. Okay. So we get all of our usual log files, but we also get one specifically for that script. So my script was called demo.ps1. So we get a script called demo.log. And I'm going to open it up in trace. I think trace is a little better to read. And let me go up to the top. So you can see here the hello world. So the line that we wrote out in the script, it'll show up in our log file. So it's a great way to do some logging if you want in your script. The modules that are loaded, the drives that are loaded, you can see how we can access those. In some cases, you know, it's things other than just the physical drives, if you're familiar with PowerShell. And then we dumped out the TS environment. So all of those task sequence variables that we know and love, either from MDT, as well as things from the custom settings.ini, all the task sequence variables, these are all available to you in PowerShell. So by adding that ZTI utility module at the top of your script, you now have all of those variables available to you as you're writing these custom PowerShell scripts. Now, in some cases, we have some variables that are lists. They're arrays. So the TS environment list will pull in all of those additional ones. In this case, I guess we do have two IP addresses here, one for IPv4 and one for IPv6. And then it logs the progress, and that was the end of our script, basically. So you can see how you can now integrate some custom PowerShell scripts, take advantage of all of the great foundation framework of MDT, and use that to really expand and enhance your task sequences. All right, so that's the end of the LTI demo. Switch back over to the deck, and I'm going to talk briefly now about ZTI and some of the things we did with ZTI. So as
you're just going to repeat everything I said.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. you're going to see a theme as we go through this. A lot of the same things that applied to LTI are going to apply to ZTI. We're supporting the new version. So with MDT 2012 Update 1, we're supporting Configuration Manager 2012 SP1, supporting Windows 8, supporting Windows Server 2012, BitLocker pre-provisioning, UEFI. You're starting to see a theme here. Oh, and hey, look, all these same integrations. It's the exact same list as before. So I'm going to just kind of roar through this. Offline state capture, again, same as before. The monitoring capabilities. One note on the monitoring capability, I'm not going to demo it in the config manager environment. You can still do monitoring with ZTI. The catch is that it's only going to monitor the MDT tasks in your task sequence. The config manager tasks steps out of the task sequence don't have the ability to send the progress information back to the MDT server, which in this case might be your config manager server. So the progress is a little choppy, let's say, because any of the config manager native tasks won't be monitored. But it still does provide some basic monitoring, at least for the MDT tasks. And remember,
and of course, you have the in-console monitoring.
Exactly. With Config Manager, there's all the great in-console monitoring and status messaging that you can use. So there's still a good amount of monitoring available. With MDT 2012 Update 1, support for Config Manager 2007 is still available. So you can either use it against a Config Manager 2007 system and integrate it there, or integrate it if you were on Config Manager 2012 SP1. And as we did with LTI, we made a whole bunch of additional behind-the-scenes improvements. And one thing to note here is with ZTI and UDI, we've now combined the template for that. So the task sequence template is one for both of those scenarios. And I'll show that here in just a second. Or actually, you know what? How about I just show it to you now? All right, let's flip back over and put that away. So I've already stepped through this wizard. This is the Create MDT Task Sequence wizard. So what I did, you know, is I clicked on the button in the upper left and then started to walk through this wizard just to save some time. I didn't want to go through all that with you all watching and bore you. So this is where things diverge, really. Not really diverge, but here's the option that you get as to whether it's a ZTI or a UDI task sequence. So by default, we're doing the zero touch, but we also have the option to select a user-driven installation. And really all this one step does is it sets a task sequence variable, and we then key off of that in the task sequence to determine whether the user sees the UDI wizard. And I'll show you that as we go in and look at the task sequence. So it's just a note that if you want to do a UDI task sequence, when you go to create a task sequence from MDT here, you're not going to see an option in the initial dropdown to choose a template for UDI. You have to step into the client task sequence, and as you progress through it, you'll get the option to select UDI. Over here. Okay, so let's go into the task sequence and take a look at that. So as I mentioned, we're keying off a variable. So that step that I showed you in the wizard, all it's doing is setting the task sequence variable skip wizard. If you select ZTI, it sets skip wizard to yes. Vice versa, it'll set it to no. And that's really all it does. Then we have steps that will key off of that. So down here, you can see we have the step to launch the UDI wizard. And this one will have a condition as to the value of skip wizard. So I think there's a few other spots where we do this, but it's all keyed off that one variable. And you can specify that in your custom settings.ini as well if you'd like, or a script or some other way. But I just wanted to point out kind of how all that works together. We have our steps here to do the formatting for UEFI. Doing the four different disk types. So UEFI does require the GPT disk. and it requires these four partitions. So we do that for you. We make those available. And it'll key off of the task sequence variable to only run this if it's a UEFI system. So we're not gonna run this on a legacy BIOS system. We have another option here for formatting the disk where it not equals true. And in this case, it's using the standard MBR for those legacy BIOS systems. Now, we also have some options here for other scenarios, again, using UEFI, or depending upon the OS that's being deployed. So here you can see for deploying Windows 7, I think that's for Windows 7, 6.1?
Yeah.
We create the BitLocker drive as well as the OS disk. And an interesting thing here with the BDE drive is that it's 499 megs. You might think, oh, why isn't that 500? Well, we wanted to give you back that one extra meg. It turns out there was a bug.
For your pictures.
Exactly, yeah. That one extra meg sometimes can be very crucial. Turns out there was a bug, I think it was with VSS, volume shadow copies, where if the disk was 500 megs or greater, then it required a larger size for that snapshot. So by dropping down to 499, we get around that, and we don't have to consume extra space for the volume shadow copies. So then for different OSs, you can see here the BitLocker drive is using 2 gigs. And then for good old XP, it's just the full disk without any BitLocker stuff. And that's actually that's about the extent of what I wanted to show you is ETI. So we'll pass it back over to Jason to talk about UDI.
Thanks, Aaron. Okay, UDI. What is UDI? UDI is what was included in a previous version of MBT. It's been enhanced in Update 1. It's really a way you use UDI if you want the user to interact with the OS deployment experience. For example, if there are values that you can't programmatically determine and you want the user to answer that question, for example, which office floor they're sitting in, you could probably determine that as well. But if you want them to answer some question that's going to drive some process or some path through the OS deployment experience, then UDI is your way to do that. You could also use UDI if you just want to take advantage of some of the background bitmap that shows you the progress. That's one thing that users find useful because it tells them where they are in the whole process. But the primary scenario for UDI as compared to ZTI, which is zero touch, exactly as it implies, user don't interact with me. UDI is what you would use if you want the user to enter any number of values into the WinPE process to drive the task sequence in the right direction for that user. Now, that could be in addition to like location. That could include the applications that they want. They may not want everything. They could select which apps they want. They could select which app group they want by their job title. HR has a different set of application needs than finance, for example, and they could click that and then get all the apps that they need for their particular use. So that's really what UDI is for. What's new in Update 1, the big thing to point out, is the extensible designer and wizard, where you can build your own pages. It also has localization capability and now has an SDK documentation if you want to interact with it that way. It also has all the features from ZTI2, the shared task sequence template that Aaron mentioned, and, of course, support for CM 2012 SP1 with Windows 8 support, plus Windows 8 application support. So that's the overview of what it is. So let's just jump into the demo for that. So this is the start screen for UDI, and this is included in MDT. So we install MDT, UDI is there as well. So the first thing I'm just going to choose to create a new UDI set of pages. So I'm open the Wizard Designer. And as you can see, if I go into flow here, there are three groups that match up to the common scenarios. There's new computer, there's refresh, and there's replace. So jumping into new computer here, you can see what you see here is a list of the pages and the sequence that they come in. So this gives you an overview, a graphical overview of the pages that basically the user will see if you went with the default standard, default template here. And these are the pages that the user would see. And I'm just going to, for an example, go down to the install programs or the application page section of this wizard. So when you go into that, and you see at the top there's a flow and a configure tab, and you toggle between those to see the overall flow and the configuration of a specific page. So for the configuration of the application page, I'm going to go down here to general software, choose to add an item. I'm going to add software to this group. And this has a connection back to Configuration Manager, so it's able to enumerate all the packages and programs and applications that are available through Configuration Manager. So in this example, we fully support applications. We fully support Windows 8 applications as well. Under the second radio button, I'm just going to add a simple package and program to this UI just so you can see what it looks like. So we go next here, and I'm going to go into 32-bit select. I'm going to search for this awesome application called Coolest Application Ever. And I'm going to go ahead and put that into the, I have to put a program name. From the drop-down, this is the program name and configuration manager for this package program, and finish that. And so now I have this this list view, or this down at the bottom under general software, I have the sample application, and I've now added this coolest application ever to this list. Now, if I cut back out to flow and click preview, and preview is really cool. Well, when it works, what'd you do, Aaron? It's thinking about opening. Give that a second. There we go. So this shows you, and what's great about previews, you don't have to do this and then go try to run it, and then, oh, that's not what I wanted it to look like, and then redo that again. Preview shows you exactly what the user is going to see in this process, and any of these pages are customizable, so that's a really cool thing about this designer. So if I scroll through, I'm just going to flip through the preview really quickly. And go down to the install programs that I just created. And now you can see that the user will have the option to install the coolest application ever, which of course they'll do because it's awesome. So they could click this, you could pre-select this, you could select the group or deselect the group, whatever the user chooses they want from their application set. But I'm going to go ahead and cancel out of that. And another page that's interesting is under new computer details. I go to configure here, scroll down here to domains and OUs, and add a domain. So I'm just, not to bore you with my typing, I'm just going to type Contoso quickly twice for domain name. And then you can right-click on these domain names and add OUs specific to those domains, which will then be a nested structure in UI. So I'm going to add an OU manually, and I'm just going to call this HR. And I'm going to add another one to this and call it, let's call this one finance. And then let's just jump back to the flow and preview. Now if I go down to my computer details screen, now I have added this, the ability to select your domain. And under that domain you select is also shows you the OUs that the user could choose that they may know which OU they're in. They probably don't, but if they did know what OU they were in, they could choose that. And then you could again drive some specifics in the task sequence relative to this choice. So this is integrated in, because this could be tied to a task sequence variable is what I'm saying. So that's all cool stuff. And then the next thing that's pretty awesome is the ability to add your own page. So you can go in here, choose from all the available page types, and I'm just going to go choose build your own page, and I'll just name this one Tech Ed, and click OK. And now I have a custom page at the bottom here that's in my page library. Now I just need to move it into this flow on the right-hand side of the screen. So I'll just drag this guy over and slot it in somewhere, and let's just make this one step, we'll make it step 3. We'll snap it in there, drag it over. So now that one's step 3. So build your own page. I go to configure this thing, and I basically have a fancy page builder, and it supports drag and drop, so I can drag my controls over. So well, let's see. Let me just add a checkbox, and it's going to be beautiful when I'm done. We'll do a checkbox over here. We'll do a combo box, and then we'll do some drop-down options, and we'll line that up. And let's do a label so we know the user knows what this thing does. You can tell I'm really good at UI design. Drag that over. And then I'm going to add this is a little background behind why I'm going to add this next item. When I first started on the configuration manager team 4 years ago, I owned the software update feature. And I really liked line separators. Every one of my wizards had several of them. And then the UX team got a hold of that and said, you can't use this many line separators. So we pulled all of them out. Well, they've showed back up here. So I can add as many line separators as I want now. And UX will not tell me I can't. So I'm just going to pile these in here. I'm going to add tons of them. And that looks like a good amount.
Beautiful.
That looks awesome, doesn't it? Yeah. This is going to be very useful when we're all done. And then I can go back to my flow, again, click preview, click through this beautiful masterpiece I've created, and there it is. Yeah, that's highly usable. Nice. That will not cause a help desk call at all. So let's actually open a real one that we put together in advance of this. I'm just going to go ahead and I don't want to save any of that. It was terrible. Open up this tech ed option here, and we're going to go to the new computer flow. And it is, where did we add that? A second page. Okay, so let's jump to preview. Actually, let me open up the configuration screen first. I'll go to configure. And as you can see here, we have a select your location. So I'm going to choose this combo box, which will open up a properties tab sheet up for layout and settings on the right-hand side. Then I go over to settings, and you can see I can tie this to, I can tie these strings to a task sequence variable name, which we could use later in the task sequence. So for this one, we did OSD registered org name. And to be cute, to tie it to the event, we listed a bunch of hotels that are available for attendees in case you want to reimage your system at the hotel, which everybody likes to do. So let's go back to flow, do preview. Next, hotel location. We got the awesome Tech Ed logo in the upper left corner. You can put your custom organizational logos in these wizards to the user trust where they're coming from. And then you can drop down and pick the hotel, in which case you may want a certain set of apps based on the hotel that you're in, and you could all do that through the task sequence logic. And anything else you want to add, Aaron?
No.
Or do you want to try to build a page? Okay.
I guess we have time. We could probably.
We do have time. We could have a page contest. With all the people in the room, everybody gets a turn.
Yeah, really.
So that's the UDI piece. And I guess next we're going into MDT 2013. Let's wrap up, then we'll come back for questions. Is that cool?
Yeah.
So you want to do that? All right.
Yeah. So this slide is a little misleading. Well, I guess it's still accurate. The preview of MDT 2013 is available in June 2013, will be available. It is available. So we announced on Wednesday that the preview is now available on Connect. How many, by show of hands, how many of you have already downloaded and installed MDT 2013? Anyone? Oh, guys, you're killing me. All right. I'll have a slide in just a few that'll tell you how to get it, where to get it. So I hope all of you rush back to your hotels or over to the lounge and download it and install it, because it's great. So with 2013, what we're doing is basically adding support for Windows 8.1, Windows Server 2012 R2, as well as System Center 2012 R2 Configuration Manager. Put the R2 in the wrong spot. I'll be flogged later for that. So with MDT 2013, it's really just adding support for these new operating systems. With that also comes the support for the new ADK, the Windows 8.1 ADK, which means, you know, some other things then come along with that. So what this is really is just a comparison of the current version, 2012 Update 1, with the new version, 2013. So with 2012 Update 1, you have the choice of using either the Windows 7 AIK or the Windows 8 ADK. With 2013, we're locking into the 8.1 ADK. With that then means that the supported platform matrix changes. So with 2012 Update 1, depending upon which toolkit you're using, you can see up here the platforms that ADK support, or AIK. Because the Windows 8.1 ADK only supports Windows 7 and above for deployment, with MDT 2013, we're only supporting the deployment of Windows 7 and above. Now, you might still be technically able to deploy another operating system, but it's not something that we're supporting out of the box. And some things will start to kind of drop off in the background. So some of the UI, you won't see options for Windows XP or Windows Vista or things like that.
So if you want to, you just stick with MDT 2012. Then,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, right. So, yeah, good point. Thank you. So if you're still deploying XP or you're deploying Server 2008, for example, this is probably one of the few times you'll hear someone on the product team tell you this, but you probably don't want to upgrade. If you still need to deploy those older operating systems, stay on MDT 2012 Update 1. The line there at the bottom, it's still supported. It'll be supported for a while. So if you need to deploy those older OSs with MDT, then you should stick on the older version. In terms of the ZTI scenario and integrating with Config Manager, 2012 Update 1, as we mentioned earlier, will integrate with either 2007 or 2012 SP1. In part because of the ADK requirement, with MDT 2013, we're locking into Config Manager 2012 R2. So if you're going to use MDT 2013, you do have to, you can only integrate that with a 2012 R2 site. Right, so yes, you can download MDT 2012 Update 1 today. It's still available on the Download Center. If you're not already using it, there's the link to go get it. And so that as this says here for MDT 2013, the place to get that today is on Connect. So if you go to connect.microsoft.com, sign in, go to the directory, you'll see an option there for MDT associated with Config Manager. It's part of a larger site, a larger program, as they call it, on Connect. And MDT is just a group of that, a subset of that. But you can easily join the MDT group. And then from there, you'll have the ability to download the installers for MDT 2013 preview, as well as the release notes. And really, the key thing is once you install it and you start using it, is we want your feedback. So you have the ability through Connect to be able to ask questions, file feedback, suggestions, bugs, if you see something that you think is a bug. Anything you file on Connect actually goes directly into our bug database. And you can do this for both Config Manager or for MDT, for that matter. And once there's a bug in our database, we can't exactly dismiss it or forget about it. It'll be there and it'll nag us. And you then also have a way to see what our comments are. We have ability to have comments go back and forth. You can upload files. So if we ask for additional log files or screenshots, it's a very nice interface to be able to interact. So I really recommend that if you do download it, please give us your feedback. As you may already know, too, there's a bunch of ways to get involved in the community, in the deployment community. The MyIT Forum site has a great list for MDT and OSD. It's not quite as active as their main SMS sort of Config Manager list, but it still gets a fair amount of traffic. There's always the TechNet forums. There's one specifically for MDT, and we now have a bunch of our MVPs are moderating that list. So you'll see them marking things as answers and pitching in and answering questions.
We really have a Facebook page?
We do. We have a Facebook page. So you can like MDT on Facebook.
How many likes do we have?
You know, I don't know.
Probably lots.
Probably. I'm sure it's in the millions. So if you're on Facebook and you enjoy that, you can like MDT. There's not a lot that gets posted there, maybe a couple times a month, but you'll see announcements like, hey, the preview of the new version is available, but also things that just relate to deployment in general. So things about new features of Windows or other things that are just interesting to deployment folks. So we've got some other sessions. If you missed any of these sessions earlier in the week, you can refer to this. We especially recommend you take a look at our OSD session that we did yesterday. Yes, it was yesterday.
That's really good.
We made a lot of jokes in it, and we were really upset because no one laughed at our jokes.
It's kind of like today.
We think we're funny. So a lot of, you know, resources, some other things. I do want to note out here, please give us some feedback, and not just if you thought this was the worst session ever. If you loved it, we'd really appreciate it if you went in and noted that. You can scan the QR code or go to any of the systems out here or your laptop and enter that feedback. So we really appreciate that. And I think that's it. So we've got some time left, so you can either run off to the airport or drinks or wherever you're heading to, or we can take some questions if anyone has some questions. I don't know if we have a mic set up, but
you just ask and we'll repeat them.
Yeah,
that's fine. So, but ask. We yesterday folks preferred that people ask from the floor and then we'll repeat it and answer in case they had the same question. So let's try that first.
If anyone has any questions. So the question was, when running the task sequence and if it fails on an error, a way to get it to retry a certain step. The only thing that I know of is the ability to continue on error. There's on each step on the options tab is a selection to continue on error. So if you have a step that might potentially fail and you want the sequence to continue if it fails, you can have it continue on error, but there's not the option to retry on error. Potentially what you could do, depending upon the step, is list it twice. I haven't tried this. This is just thinking off the top of my head. List it twice. Have the first one set to continue on error, and have the second one, there's a condition you could set, and now I'm not sure if this is an MDT or only in Config Manager, but there is a task sequence variable as to whether the success or fail state of the previous step. So you could, for the first one, have it continue on error, and the second one have a condition set on it as to whether or not the previous one succeeded or failed. So if it failed, that continues, and then it basically tries again because the other one failed.
You could also script the step and have your own retry logic.
Exactly, yeah.
Right?
So again, depending upon the step, write a custom script and build that logic into the script. So, you know, one of the great things about MDT is you can... The sky's the limit, really. You know, if you can script it for more or less, you can do it in the task sequence. Okay. Any other questions? Well, I didn't hear that. I don't know if I'll get any feedback here. Let's see if I'll apologize if things start screeching at us. You said 2010?
Or 2010.
Okay. Gotcha. So the question is, he's got MDT 2010, and when you upgrade to 2012, will they persist? Is that right? Yeah. So if you're upgrading from MDT 2010 and going to MDT 2012, there's a supported upgrade. I think it's in the release notes. So if you look at the release notes for 2012, it'll actually say... It supports upgrade, I think, all the way back to 2008. And it will, I believe the steps, you know, they're backwards compatible. So that it should still work, yeah. You'll need to update your deployment or upgrade your deployment share. So when you upgrade MDT, the deployment share will still be listed. Or you'll have to add it, but then you also have to upgrade it. So you have to upgrade your deployment share. That's one of the first steps. There's information in both the release notes and the core docs, the using MDT doc, on how to do that upgrade. That covers that. Yeah. Sorry, say that again. Add network drivers in the Windows PE phase. Is drivers, so you need to add drivers to the boot image so that they're available in Windows PE. If you need those network drivers available for the OS, then yeah, you would need to make sure you're injecting those drivers as part of the task sequence.
Is there any additional
drivers? No, there's no change with for driver management. Sure. The question is, does the Dart remote connection work with CMO7? I haven't tried it, but I think it's completely separate. So you would either need to go through the MDT console, the MDT workbench, in order to view the as I showed in the demo, go to the monitoring page for the client that's running to launch the Dart controller to access. You can also open the Dart controller separately, manually, but then you have to enter all of that information. So it's kind of external from Config Manager. So you from the Config Manager console itself, there's no Dart integration there. If that's kind of where you were going with that question. Okay. Yeah? So the question is it possible to do a bare metal deployment using 802.x network security? Yeah. Again, I haven't tried it. I know there at times there can be issues with that, and I'm not sure if it's 100% supported or not. I don't think it's something that we explicitly test. So in that respect, I don't think it would. I don't believe it's sort of officially supported, but again, it's not something that I've tried myself, and I don't know all that much about that standard. So
let's get one of our cards before you leave, and we'll get you a definitive answer back.
Did you stop by the booth yesterday and ask the same question at the expo? Okay, because I remember seeing it. We compile a whole list of questions at the end of the day, and I remember seeing that on the list. I just wasn't sure if it was you or someone else. Any other questions? All right, last call.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks so much for coming. I know it's the last session of the day, so appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, all.